Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 9, and we're going to read this in Jesus' name. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And you he hath quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we are dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show his exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. We ask, Father, by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we would not hear of the wisdom of men, but rather, Father, that you would sanctify us in the truth, because, Father, we know this word is truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a tendency to pick scriptures that are not very Christmassy, as you could say. And one of the reasons I feel very strong in this way is because sometimes we need to look at the whole gospel. I wouldn't even say sometimes. All the time we need to look at the whole gospel, the whole Bible, as the Christmas story. Because Christmas, often we celebrate once a year. And we've heard the old cliche, but it's not really a cliche, it's quite true. Christmas is every day. Because Christ is victorious, and he has won the battle for us each and every day of our lives. And this is the greatest news that we could ever share with the world and also receive for ourselves. You heard this evening the young adults from our confirmation class. They shared with you many readings, and I thank Brother Mark for putting that together. He does a wonderful job with that, and Confirmants, you did a great job. I know it's nerve-wracking, but you did a wonderful job, and praise God for your service. But you heard them. They gave to you the powerful message of Christ promised. And this is the thing that we need to understand. From the very beginning, God understood our plight. He understood our difficulty. And he sent the remedy. He promised the remedy way back in the Old Testament. And he sent the remedy, as we could say, in the New Testament, the New Covenant. And that is something that is so enormous and so huge that sometimes I wonder if we can even wrap our mind around what we've been given. We live in a world that often calls out protocol, it calls out systems, it calls out these issues that we need to deal with on a day-to-day basis to fit in. We're turning around and we're always trying to identify ourselves, and oftentimes the saddest part is that we try to identify ourselves through the world's standards or the world's definitions. God has created us. He has given us life. And there is yet any individual that can even scientifically prove that that hasn't taken place. Now, the one false thing that we often try to do, or I shouldn't say false thing, one of the things that we try to do often is we like to refute and try to prove the other way too. Well, in all honesty, we are children of faith. And we live by the promises of God written in His Word, encouraged by His Spirit. And so for us to try to get on the defense and turn around and say, well, now I'm going to scientifically prove to you my theology, well, that's foolish also. But we live in a world where we're always trying to identify ourselves or deal with the way the world says we should be. But to understand who we are, and I think that's one of the greatest things that's missing in this day and age, to understand each and every individual of who we are. Now, for us as Christians, It should be very easy to understand that we are the children of God, purchased and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, the very one that we worship in this Christmas season. We are very unique individuals. But He didn't just die for me. He didn't just die for, say, the Christians. He died for the sins of the world. And when we come down to the understanding of saying, we are powerful and we are wonderfully created and we are mysteriously saved through the blood of Christ, that is not a small thing. But sometimes we have a tendency in the Christmas season just to say, well, Jesus came to the world, He was born in a stable, everybody came around, gave Him gold and myrrh and everything else like that, sounds good. It's much more than that. God has presented us with the greatest gift that could ever be given. And it is extremely, extremely important that we understand how precious that gift is. I can't pick on you. I can't pick on anybody else in this room. I can only see myself. And I was lost. With no hope. Left to my own devices, I was blind. And God revealed Himself to me. And I'm speaking in this fashion so that I don't bring judgment to anybody else. I'm picking on me. So you do what you want with it from there. But God revealed Himself to me through His love, through His word, through His kingdom, His people. And He encouraged me. And when the revelation of Jesus Christ comes to an individual such as myself, it is just mind-blowing. Because it is such a powerful and a wonderful thing that one such as myself can have the hope of eternity, can have the hope of peace and assurance before the throne of God. And so when you turn around and you understand that to a small degree, you understand where Paul is coming from when he writes this letter to the Ephesians. The first thing that we need to understand is he's writing it to the believers. He's writing it to the believers. Now, with a hope that those that don't understand would read it and believe, but he's encouraging, in chapter 1, the saints, those that are sanctified, set apart for this purpose, that are faithful in Christ. And so that's the encouragement that he's coming from. He's saying, listen, you guys, you all know this. You all know this because you are believers. You've heard the gospel, you've received the gospel, and you've received that beautiful, beautiful, wonderful gift. Because it's been open to you. We're all going to get gifts, I think. Tonight, maybe. Maybe tomorrow morning. I've received a lot of beautiful gifts from different people. You see, sometimes we put monetary values on gifts. But it's not always about the money. You know, when someone walks up to you and they hand you, say, something as precious as a card. Someone took the time to find a card for you. And they took the time to read the card to make sure that the card really conveys what they want to say to you. And not only that, then they personalize the card, don't they? They personalize the card, they write some nice thoughts in there, they sign it indicating, this is from me to you. So I have a card. It says, Pastor Jesse and Judy. Isn't it nice? It's a nice looking card, isn't it? Isn't it beautiful? Don't you love the pictures on it? Now I might be losing you and you might think, glad I don't come to this church because this guy don't make any sense. But your answer should be, I don't know. I don't know if the card's beautiful. I don't know what's in the card. I don't know if there's a family picture. I don't know anything, do I? Because why? The gift is not open. God has given us the most precious gift that could ever be given to the whole world. And many people can take this gift and carry it around, but do they understand and do they know what they have? Do they have the preciousness of what that gift is? This is your Lord. Your Lord came to this earth and He came in the flesh and He came here as a babe. We could not go to Him.
There is no great journey that we could take, even as the false gods of this world try to tell us, that we can earn our way. We can't go to Him because of our fallenness, because of my dirt. So He came to us. He came to us in the form of flesh. And He took on, if we can say, our fashion. The created fashion that He has created, yes, in the image of God, but that was tainted with sin. And He came to us. And when He came to us, He came and He ministered to us, to each and every one of us. And He physically ministered to the generation of the time. And He served people beyond all measure. This is the gift we have received. And Paul very strongly tells us, he says, do you understand? Do you understand, you Ephesians, you believers? Don't you remember? Don't you remember that you were dead? You were dead in trespasses and sins. That gets to be such a scary comment to make in this day and age because we're so PC. We can't say anything off. You can't tell somebody that they're a sinner. Well, guess what? I am a sinner. I think it. I do it. Often I breathe it. Whatever it may be. But I am a sinner saved by grace. Because I have the hope of Jesus Christ abiding within. And we don't need to be so afraid of that word of sin. The fact of it is that really we can come to the understanding that I am qualified now to receive the redemption of Jesus Christ because I don't stand on my own merits. I don't stand on my own righteousness. Now it doesn't mean I'm left there. I'm called to be much more in Christ and He'll give that ability through His Holy Spirit. But Paul says, don't you know, we were dead and lost in our sins and trespasses. He says, because we used to be like everybody else. We walked according to the course of this world. We identified ourselves through the world instead of identifying ourselves through Christ. He says, we followed the prince of the power of the air. This is what we were doing. He says, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, those that don't believe. That's really what it means. We always turn this into such a harsh thing that we can beat people up with it. Well, if we were to beat anybody, I would be the first. You could beat me with it. But my God doesn't look in that way. Our God looks on us in loving, gracious terms. And He pours out His mercy continually before us. This is the Christmas gift. That we have a hope beyond any thought of this world. We have a hope beyond the reason of men. We have a hope of redemption and the assurity of forgiveness through the blood of Christ. This is the Christmas season. Just as I said, many people can pick it up. Many people can carry it around. But do they open the gift? Do they enjoy the gift? Do they use the gift? He says, we all were there once. He says, we were by nature. And he's talking about our sin nature here, the children of wrath. Just like the rest of mankind. Now, he's not chastising here. He's not beating us up. He's saying, have you forgotten? And brothers and sisters in Christ, my question to you and to myself is, have we forgotten? Have we forgotten what it's like to have no hope? Can we bring hope to this world that needs it? Can we bring encouragement to this world that needs it? Can we uplift those that are heavy laden? Can we encourage? He says, we were once there. And then we always say in life, there's no buts, don't we? Remember your mom would always say, no buts. But that scripture actually makes this different. And now I'm going to get louder so you really understand this. Pretty good gift, eh? But anyways, but God. But God, being rich in mercy. We were lost, we were hopeless. But God. God was rich in mercy because of the great love and wherein He loved us. Even when we had no hope, we could do nothing for ourselves because dead people don't get up and do anything. He says we were dead in our trespasses. He made us alive again in Christ Jesus. And Paul comes out and he says this very plain fact.
By grace you are saved.
Grace. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you know what that word is? In this Christmas season, when we show the peace and the love that we have to the world around us, when we share the most, you know, during the year, do we know what grace means? Unmerited favor. Something I didn't do anything for. I didn't work for it. That's our God. We didn't do anything to merit the mercy and grace that He has poured out before us. And yet He willingly does it. There was nobody 33 years after Jesus' birth that was standing at the cross scene saying, take him down, because he's innocent. They wagged their head at him. They did many other things. But God, He has grace and mercy beyond measure. That's a word my kids love. I always say, beyond measure in everything in our house. So anyways, and then you come to this point. He says, by grace you are saved. And He has raised us up with Him. For what purpose? To seat us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Do you know that? Do you know that as a believer in Jesus Christ, that you are seated in heavenly places in Him? That you are secure? And this is such a beautiful gift to understand. Because it means that you are represented. You are there. You are up front. And God knows you. You ever consider that? Have you ever considered, even when you take the Easter scene, and I love to bring Christmas and Easter together because they're big events in the church. But the fact of it is, you take the Easter scene, and you see that when Jesus speaks to Mary, He calls her by name. When He's resurrected, He calls her by name. She supposes He's the gardener. And He says, Mary. God knows who we are. We matter to Him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't know what you are going through in this day and age. I don't know the struggles. I can't even pretend to. But your God knows your name. And He desires for fellowship, and He desires for you to understand His grace and His mercy, that you may be encouraged to live in a difficult world. We talk all the time, and we hear on the news all the time about fear, and oftentimes, yes, I've become susceptible to it too. But there is no fear in Christ. Our flesh may be wavering. We may struggle. But do we know the grace and the mercy and the peace that God gives? That He's got it. That He's got it. He knows our name. He knows who we are. And so then very plainly He says, you are seated in the heavenly places of Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He will continue to show His immeasurable riches for you. And His grace and His kindness towards you. Do you have that relationship? Do you have peace? I'm not talking about religion here. I want to know, in reality, obviously we're not looking for verbals, but the fact of it is, do you have the peace? Do you have peace in your life? When you get up in the morning, are you content? When you go to bed at night, do you worry? Peace comes from the Father. And it is poured out through His mercy and through His grace by the finished work of Jesus Christ. He has given us this gift. He has given us the most precious gift. And oftentimes we walk through life carrying the envelope and we never open it. And man, life would be a lot better and a lot easier if we'd open the envelope. Can you imagine if all of a sudden, you know, you turned around and you said, man, Lord, I really could use some money this week to pay my mortgage. I don't know how I'm going to do it. And I'm using a very carnal example. I wish I had a little more. I just need $200. I could pay my mortgage. And all of a sudden someone comes along and they see you and they say, hey, you've been on our heart lately, and here you go, and they hand you an envelope. Imagine if you never opened it. Imagine if there was $300 in there. Next thing you know, Superior National is knocking on your door and they're going to take your house because you didn't pay your mortgage. And how foolish when you're moving out and you find that envelope. And finally you say, oh, what's this? And you open it. And there it is. We have been given a gift. And the gift is so precious. And it brings such peace and tranquility. It's not religion. It's not the dedication of men. It is living in Him that brings us peace. He says very plainly, He says that He will continue to show you this. And He repeats His thought once again in verse 8. And this is so important because oftentimes I feel the religious world forgets this. Verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Yes, there is a means. God has given. Have you received? Through faith. And He says it's not of your own doing. He says it is a gift. A gift of God. Now sometimes people open the envelope, don't they? And praise God for that. They open the envelope, they receive something, and they're like, "Yes, this is awesome. Thank you so much." And the next thing you know they're doing? Pulling out their checkbook. "How much do I pay you for this?" What kind of gift is that? God is not expecting us by merit to work for it. He's not expecting us to repay Him. That is an insult. Receiving the gift and opening the gift, receiving it and partaking in it, is now to live in it and allow His Spirit to operate in our lives, that we can truly go forth into this world and continue to represent Him, to love, to give, and to encourage. There was an old guy back in the 1500s. His name was Martin Luther. And oftentimes we call ourselves Lutherans, but we quite often forget who Luther was. And he made a very, very strong point about works in a Christian's life. He said very plainly, "We do good works because we are Christians. We don't do them to become Christians." And that is very, very important to understand. Does it mean that we won't do any good things? No, we will. God will do things through us that we won't even understand, that we won't even know. He will allow us to be His instruments to impact this world in many different ways if we surrender to Him. He has given you a gift. Are you willing to use it? Are you willing to encourage the world with it? Are we just full of talk, or do we actually have action? Do we live and abide in His Holy Spirit, and then we are empowered to be His true ambassadors in this world? He says, you know what? It is a gift of God. He says, not a result of works. He says, because you know what? If it was by works, Jesse Aho would boast. He'd be bragging to everybody. "You betcha, that's where I am, because you know what? I worked really hard at it." That's not how it comes. Freely we have been given, so freely we give. May God be blessed. May your Christmas be blessed. And as you open your gifts tonight, tomorrow, whenever it may be, may you truly consider the gift that God has given you. And as you use the new gift that somebody has given you, ask yourself, am I using God's gift to the full potential? That's impacting the world. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let us close with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for this opportunity to gather around Your Word. We thank and praise You, Father, for the gift of life in Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that in this Christmas season that You would always keep that alive in our hearts. And Father, if there are any that are struggling even with this gift, may they continue to seek You through Your Word, through Your ambassadors, and Father, by Your Spirit. We pray, Father, that each and every one of us can leave here encouraged this evening. Now, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift His countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.